State ascoltando SBS Italian.
Hello, my name is Andrew H.C. McDonald, and my first book is The Montegiallo School of Swearing.
Very promising title. Thank you so much for coming to SBS Italian, Andrew.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Very excited.
Benvenuto. Welcome. First of all, The Montegiallo School of Swearing. It's your first novel and takes us to Sicily.
Si.
Montegiallo is, of course, a made-up place.
Si.
Why did you choose to set your first book in Italy?
Because I love Italy and I love Italians and I love the language so much. I was also very fascinated by the 1 euro scheme where you can buy a mansion for 1 euro in rural Italy. I chose Sicily because that's where that happens at the moment. It has happened in other areas, rural towns across Italy in the past, over the last 40 years or so. And they even copied it in Western Australia, buying a house for a dollar if you paid the rates. So, but that's why specifically Sicily for this one.
But you've been to Italy many times before. Is that why you were also interested in Italy?
Yeah, I've been a few times. And yes, once you go, you know, you always want to go back because the people are so lovely. It's like if you even try to speak Italian there, people are really open to it and really encouraging. Francese, no.
So we're a little bit more accepting of people who try to speak our language. This is a story, very funny story, I must say, that has as a protagonist Brian Chapman, who is a Melbournean, who decides a little bit on the spur of the moment to buy a house in Sicily and migrates basically to Sicily to set up home in Montegiallo. It's not an easy arrival for this character. What happened?
Well, I think it's for a lot of these 1 euro ones, it can be a little bit of a shock because there is you're obliged to make a lot of repairs, so you've got to have a bond. So after the 1 euro, you have to pay anywhere between 5,000 to 8,000 euro as a deposit, which you have to use in a year to start your renovations. So you're already on the back foot a lot, and like a lot of small towns, it's hard to be part of that community. And he has an innovative way of trying to become part of that community, is how the story goes, and to make a little bit of money to help with his mansion with its 8 bedrooms and its 6 bathrooms.
It's a fantastic story, and there's really a fantastic twist in it. But I really enjoyed the first part of it, when the scuola is not set up yet, the school of swearing, but where Brian is trying to make sense of how to live in this new place, where he is a foreigner after all. But there's also another group of experts.
Yeah.
And I really liked the interaction between him and the group of experts. What were your insights, and how did you research that aspect of your story as well?
So a few times I've been to Italy, it has been experienced sometimes that Inglesi Americani are not maybe as open as an Australian would be, because you're Australian, you're in the middle of the culture, English speaker, but it's not American. So I think being Australian is a little bit different. And also sometimes you hear the stories about English going to Spain and they're complaining there's too many Spaniards or there's not enough English beer and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I think Australian would be more wanting to be, be part of this community rather than just the expat side of things. Mm. Oh, and research. I've talked to quite a few expats, particularly about how the bureaucracy works and how the actual, how the reality of it is.
We're talking to Andrew H.C. McDonald, who's the author of The Montegiallo School of Swearing. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. This is your first book, and your background is in comedy.
Yes, and art. I'm a visual artist as well and photographer. But as for this, I think doing 10 years of stand-up was really good for writing dialogue, because it's got to be right on the stage. You don't get a chance to, you know, work with it. You're on the stage and it's either working or it doesn't work. So I did stand-up for about 10 years. I still do true storytelling every now and then, which is a little bit less stressful than a stand-up, a bit lower stakes than that. But, yeah, so I've had an arts kind of background for a long time. Visual arts, printmaker, photographer, comedian, and now writer.
What made you decide that you had a book in you and that you really wanted to tell this story?
I don't know, I just thought of the idea was really interesting, because when I was at school, we had, at high school, we had an exchange student from Mexico City who had no English whatsoever. And I won't tell you the first words that the school boys taught him, but he used to perform these parolache like an opera singer. He didn't understand them, and the reaction that he got from that, not teachers didn't like it, but the kids, we absolutely fell around laughing. And it's sort of like that when you don't have the meaning behind or the tone of the parolache, it's a different thing and you can be freer to express it. You don't know what you're really, you sort of know what you're saying, but you don't exactly know.
And this is really what's behind part of this story, which makes it really funny. There's a little bit of a faida, we say in Italian, a little bit of a war between the experts and the locals based on swearing, le parolacce, we say in Italian. You had to do a lot of research for that part of your story.
Yes, and also my editor, I didn't know how much. Also, it revolves a lot around plumbing as well. So I didn't realize how much detail.
Is in real plumbing.
Yeah. Real plumbing. And my editor is very, very detailed. Is it really that how much it would cost to fix a bidet in Sicily? So all of those details had to be right. So plumbing and swearing, most of the second half of the book revolves around those two things.
And you had to work a lot on it and really work with other people as well to get the information right. Yeah. What is it that makes us swear more easily sometimes in another language? You were already touching on that earlier. Is it something that you've also experienced when you went to Italy and learned a bit of Italian?
I definitely didn't do any swearing in Italy.
You did indeed.
So dangerous to do. But researching the swearing side, international swearing, a lot of the times the words don't have any meaning. It's just the tone. For example, I also speak un po' di cinese, and turtle is a very strong insult in Chinese.
So I didn't know.
It's just the tone. So it's the difference between turtle and turtle. You know, it's so a lot of them, it's just the tone that's is the meaning of it. Because quite often the words, they're nonsensical. And I mean, a lot of the sexual ones as well are mostly kind of good things.
But what's your personal relationship with swearing? Because there's an element of freedom in swearing in your book. It kind of frees people and it frees up a lot of feelings that were not expressed or explored by the characters.
And also it allows a reduction of inhibition as well, because, you know, even expressing like that just makes you change, makes you feel a lot different. It's also like the clothing. He finds an old suit and he wears that. Just change of clothes and speaking differently can transform your personality, and I guess this is a story where that just gets a little bit out of control.
Okay. The Montegiallo School of Swearing is a fantastic book. It's very funny. You're now presenting it around Australia, and you were saying before we came to the studio that you were very relieved to have talked to some people of Italian background who were actually loving the book. What were you afraid of?
Well, I mean, it's kind of not really for English speakers, I guess, but to have, I've had so many messages from Italian Australians, total strangers, saying how much they liked it, and saying how much they've, almost makes me want to move back to Italy. So, I mean, those people have been the absolute highest praise, and as someone who's giving to all their Italian friends, because I think it's kind of a magical town. Is sort of real, but it's not within a sort of time, and it has all of the good things about rural Italy and those small towns, and it's people's problems are serious but absurd, and the problems in the rest of the world are serious but existential and dangerous, and it's sort of I think it's about that. It's a place where you can go to and be safe and be funny. Whereas in the world at the moment, it's quite a dangerous place everywhere else.
Absolutely. The Montegiallo School of Swearing is a very visual book, I find. There are a lot of things which I kind of imagined would work for cinema. Is this an idea that you had in the background? A hope, maybe?
Of course. So here I'm sitting in SBS, so Leona, I hope everyone's listening here. it's well, I studied film and television when I was at university, so, and being an artist, it's always been, you know, a very visual memory and a visual language, so photographer as well. So storytelling, writing or performing is just a different window into that. But I did originally want to have it as a screenplay. I wrote the first few chapters as a screenplay, and then I decided to switch to a book. But I do have a lot of visual elements that would replace some of the introspection in the book. There's mostly that one character, a lot of his thoughts in there. So I think it would make a very, very funny movie, and I hope there's some Italian comic actors who would be very good for that role.
Do you have someone in mind already, actors, Australian or Italian?
I sort of had the idea of people who are not necessarily the right age now, but in the past, and so I won't name those, but I had very strong feelings of what people should look like Gianni the plumber, and of actors in the past who may not, you know, even may not be with us anymore, so because I had to think of it as in a visual way. But yes, comic, young comic actor who wants to play a funny plumber, that's a very, very good role.
Se c'è un idraulico là fuori, get in touch with Andrew H. C. McDonald. The Montegiallo School of Swearing is your first book. We were touching before on the fact that you had to do a little bit of research for the part where you insert some swearing in Italian as well, and you collaborated with Dr. Agnese Bresin. How hard was it for you and for her to find, you know, what you were looking for in Italian swearing?
Dr. Agnese Bresin was absolutely fantastic, because the swearing had to be just the right side of funny, without being too offensive, but not being too weak as well. And I found the swearing from basically a website of Italian Parolacce, and she had ideas for replacing some of those, and they were so much better. So it was really, I absolutely loved working with Agnese. It was an absolute joy.
A bit of an unusual role for her too, I'm sure.
You know, she can put Italian swearing consultant on her CV.
I'm sure she will enjoy that. This book is published by Fremantle Press. It's your first book, but again, I think you probably got a taste of what it's like to write a book and then tour and meet readers. Are you already planning a second book? Maybe another book in the same vein or with the same characters?
I don't know if I do a sequel to this, but if I do another Italian book, there'll definitely be a Magica in there. Excellent name you have, Magica. I want to see how all this goes, because I did not know the whole process of getting the book published was all a surprise to me. I didn't know how it worked, all of it, from the editing, how detailed that was, it's sentence by sentence, essentially. How the design works, the typesetting, all of the marketing. So there's a team of, you know, 15 people that are working on it. So different from stand-up when it's just only you. I want to see how all it goes. So when I'm doing next one, I will do it. There's some of the things that I would do differently or be more ready for. There's so few avenues to get published. You have to be ready for it. I think some people make the mistake of submitting things when it's not ready enough, and you just have to be ready, because there's a handful of places that will take manuscripts without, you know, on no notice.
How did you go about it, by the way? It was your first book. Did you have an agent? How did you find the editor?
Well, and this is very annoying to other people who are writers. Fremantle Press was the first place I sent it to, and they said yes pretty well straight away.
So first time lucky,
but because I had the background in stand-up and storytelling, a lot of it was pretty good. There wasn't much change. There was a few scenes that said, this is what you need, scene here is missing, but I think a lot of our first-time writers, there's a lot of cuts. There wasn't many cuts, and I did 15 major drafts before I submitted it as well. So I was as ready as I could be for it to work. But, annoying as it is, it was the first one I tried.
Wow. Very well done. I'm sure there will be a few jealous people listening.
I hope so.
You were partly prepared by your comedic work, but at the same time, were you also an avid reader, or did you have any authors you were kind of looking up to that inspired you?
My mother taught, because I was born in the wheat belt of West Australia, so that's out in the countryside, and my mother had nothing else to do apart from cooking for shearers, but to teach myself and my sister to read well before school. So we read everything in the whole school while everyone else was doing at it. And so always been a very, very avid reader. I really like a lot of crime. Oh, the Inspector Montalbano, of course, in translation, but I love every time he goes to those restaurants and eats all that food, oh, it's just magnificent. That's for Italian books. My favourite Australian book is The Brush Off by Shane Maloney. So it's comic crime. It's also set in Melbourne as well. I love his work. But you've always been a reader, yes.
Well, good luck with this book. Are you planning to translate it into Italian or other languages?
I don't know if it works out. That always comes up with demand, you know. So if someone demands it, then someone will make that happen. So, which is a thing about Fremantle Press, they're so fantastic. They do all of that sort of thing, all the arranging and all the where I have to go to sign this and sign that and everything they do. So I'm sure they're working on something like that.
Good luck, o in bocca al lupo, we say in Italian.
Grazie, grazie, grazie.
The Montegiallo School of Swearing is, of course, in bookshops, and I guess you can also buy it online.
Sì.
Ciao, a presto.
Good, thank you very much.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.